we drew this picture in English yesterday after the meeting. And it's not exactly to scale or according to the measurement, just so we have something of an image to look at. On page 4 of the outline, we see that there is an ordinance, which is the service of the priests. And the point is that it is to serve at the altar and behind the veil, point 5b on the outline, to be in charge of all the offerings and the holy gifts. This we have to see. The priests need to know, they need to be informed, so familiar with all the offerings. It's impossible to be a priest but to be unfamiliar with all these offerings. This is important. How can we be priests and not know what these offerings are in all their details? How they are prepared, how they are offered, which parts God wants to have, which parts belong to the priest. And which part belongs to the brothers and sisters, to the saints who are bringing the offering. We really have to know this, and on which side the ash belongs, the ashes belong. There's so many things that are given to us as instruction. Don't think God made it so easy for us, but much more, the priests have to train for 5 years, from the age of 25 to the age of 30. They have to learn so many things. And therefore, we have to see, we also need time to learn. Hopefully in 5 years, we will all be so familiar with all these services at the burnt offering altar. And the fire cannot go out at this burnt offering altar. So we have to see how important it is. The priests are responsible for all the offerings and the holy gifts. You can read this yourself. Often we think it's so easy. It's not so easy. We even have to read these verses over and over, like these verses in Leviticus chapter 1, so the Lord can show us in the Spirit. It's so important. These experiences are so important because God in His wisdom knows we need these offerings in order to be perfected. These offerings are very specific to our experience so that we would be in a position to fully cooperate with the Lord for the fulfillment of God's plan. How can we lead a life that is fully for the will of God without this burnt offering? It's not possible, and not just a small dove. Of course the Father will accept a dove. But you can't just remain there, but you have to have a desire to have even more, greater and richer experience of the burnt offering. Until you arrive at the point that you can bring an ox. But if we don't have this view, and we're already so satisfied with just a little dove, a turtle dove, we're not underestimating or saying a dove is not worthy. Don't misunderstand me. But through this, God wants to encourage us to go even further. Of course, kindergarten is good. But it's not sufficient. You have to go on to elementary school. And elementary school is also good. But you still have to go on to secondary school. And so on. And so our experience shows, Leviticus shows us that our experience must grow. It must increase. We have to grow in our experience of Christ. And as priests, we all have to learn to enter into this process of learning. It's very important. And we have to learn. How the meal offering is prepared in the many different ways, as it's described here. The humanity of the Lord in all his fullness. It's what our brother Clemens read in Titus. That's just a fraction, a portion of the humanity of the Lord, which is, of course, wonderful, but it's just a small part. There are so many aspects of his humanity, his righteousness, and also Matthew 23. Lord Jesus, you know that is the humanity of the Lord. Another aspect of the humanity of the Lord. So we see that the humanity of the Lord is so multifaceted, and that's why we have four Gospels where we see the Lord is kingly. He's the Lion of Judah. We may only want to know the Lord as the Lamb, but no, he is also the Lion of Judah. We must see this. You go against the enemy. He's against religion, all of these Pharisees and scribes. Against all these, the Lord was very clear and sharp. He didn't scold them just to scold them. But this chapter is important to save us, Matthew 23. We are so nice, we don't ever want to say anything. And in the end, we all fall into a trap because we are being led around by a Pharisee. And the Lord spoke such a clear word here in order to save us. He knows very well that that which he said here, that's no help to the Pharisees. They don't understand. They will only get even angrier from hearing him speak this way. You think the Lord is trying to speak this to actually turn the Pharisees and so that they will repent? No way. So why is he doing this? It's for our sake today. To save us. This is important. This also belongs to the humanity of the Lord. The Lord in all his wisdom. We have to know and get to know this. this multifaceted humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ with so many aspects. And that's why there's this covering of the fine linen, and it has this multitude. And it's important to see this. May the Lord open our eyes. It's very, very important to see all these aspects of the wonderful humanity of the Lord for the building up of the sanctuary. This blue color is wonderful. We know this blue color from John. Yeah, as the Lord was truly the man who came from heaven when he spoke with Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus, if I speak of earthly things and you do not understand, how can it be when I speak of heavenly things? John 3:12. Because he was God. And he became flesh. And he expressed this wonderful living Father. He was the brightness of his glory. This blue color. That's what we need in the church. And we see this in the wonderful humanity of Jesus. We have to know his traits, his divinity, his heavenly nature, his kingly color, purple. What a wonderful color. That's how we see the Lord in Matthew. He is the King, the Son of David. He is the King who wants to bring the kingdom on earth. And we see he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler over all the nations. And much more, he is our King, and we are his kingdom. The church is the kingdom of God. Often we do not know how we can imagine this to be, because it doesn't fit into our concepts. We can't imagine it. But the Lord is the King who is ruling over us. He should and he must rule here over us in the church. But how often do we really see this manifested? Much more, we see ourselves, we see us ruling, we see the flesh ruling, man is ruling. And we are no better than the people of Israel who wanted to have their own king. And they rejected God as their king. That's because of our fallen nature. All of history shows us, our own history also shows us, that we like to follow man. There is always looking at the outward appearance of man. But God does not regard man. And so the Lord must open our eyes. What a sanctuary. And then there is this scarlet color. And then the Lord was so given to go all the way to the death on the cross, to redeem the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her on the cross. His blood was poured out. As Paul said, he obtained his flock of sheep with his own blood. We want to have a church life, but we don't want to pay the price. We want to rule. We want to have a position. We want to do something. Okay, to do something is okay. But when it really comes to the point where we have to pay the price, we are not prepared to leave our soul life. This scarlet color, it doesn't mean just redemption, but it means, it demonstrates, signifies the price that the Lord paid in order to get this holy, this glorious church. We want to have the church life, but we want to do it without this scarlet color. That's not possible. And so there we see how perfect the Lord is and how complete he is. In his humanity, in his person, there is no lack. Which one of us has all of these wonderful colors? And we also see the other coverings. The actual covering of the sanctuary is these two layers. First, the fine linen, and secondly, the goat skin, the goat's hair. And for the other two layers, there was no measurement specified. So we see the first two that are immediately covering the sanctuary are much more important. And the other two layer, the ram skin and the scarlet dyed, which is dyed in a scarlet color, it's not stated what the measurement is. And also the badger skin is without measurement. So those are just the outer coverings. It looks like a tent for protection. So we see so clearly, it's a description that is according to the pattern that Moses saw. And once more we see this bar and the golden rings that are holding together these boards. This is very important. What is binding us together? Our humanity. Our humanity is not overlaid with gold. It has no golden rings. Sometimes I don't know what's really keeping us all together. Maybe we just share the same interests? Or what? What is holding us together? What kind of oneness did Paul encourage us to hold fast? He said, be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. And so no wonder Psalm 133 is talking about the oneness among the brothers that is like the ointment, the precious oil that ran down the beard of Aaron. We have a oneness without any ointment, without any precious oil, and then there, in the end, you have friction. You have a lot of friction without oil, and then friction causes fire. Yeah, arguing and fighting. It's really terrible. And in the end, there's enmity. That kind of oneness does not count before God. This wonderful heavenly being held together, this oneness, it can only be created by God through the Holy Spirit, the bond of peace. and the Lord is our peace. And this bar must go all the way across, all the way through. We must all learn and see this. We must see this at all costs. Three rows of five bars. And these five are composed of one bar that goes all the way through the middle and four shorter bars. May the Lord really open our eyes for this. Let us build the church in such a way. It's actually not that super complicated either. Actually, if you look at all this, it's really simple, isn't it? Yeah, it's not so complicated. And everywhere it's the same material throughout. All of the utensils are made of gold, and this table is of acacia wood, and it's overlaid with gold. And also the incense altar is also made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. God does not want any other material. You have to understand this. There's only one kind of material, one wood that God is providing, and it must be overlaid with gold, meaning it must be overlaid with His divine nature. Any other kind of humanity is not capable to be overlaid with this gold and to sustain it. It will not remain. You can't fake this. You cannot fake it. So this whole area is very wonderful, and we see the most important area is the most holy place, where the Lord is really dwelling, where He really dwells. And here in the church, we know the Lord is dwelling in us, in our spirit. And if we view the area around the sanctuary as the outer court, then we see that it corresponds to our body, the outer part. And the sanctuary corresponds to our soul, and the most holy place corresponds to our spirit. Don't forget, Paul in multiple places tells us, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in a certain sense, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so we have to see, this is the house of the living God, the whole thing, but God is not dwelling in the outer part, in the outer court. You will not find Him there. And in the sanctuary, you're closer, but He's not there either. If you want to see Him, you must enter into the most holy place, into the innermost part. But that requires you to pay a price. And I thank the Lord that although this outer part is just the body, 1 Thessalonians tells us that He must sanctify us through and through, sanctify us wholly. And this is the outer court. And in Revelation, we see that the outer court is no longer measured, and rather only the sanctuary including the most holy place, is measured, and those who are worshiping within. And who would worship inside the sanctuary when not the priesthood? If not the priesthood. So this all gives us a complete picture. We don't have the words to describe this. I am sorry. And even in German, I just cannot describe it. And also, when I'm tired, it's hard. I can't find the right words. But dear brothers and sisters, the Spirit must show us our words are not sufficient to experience or to describe this reality. And on the outside, around the outer court, there is a wall of fine linen all around the outer perimeter, which is a separation. And there are pillars along the outside. And if I'm not mistaken, how many pillars are along the west side? It's 20 pillars. And across the north side, it's 10 pillars. And then you have 50 cubits. And the pillars are not of wood, and they're not overlaid with gold, but they are made of bronze. They're made of bronze. Only the hooks are made of silver, upon which this fine linen is hung, the separation between inside and outside. And what is the meaning of copper or of bronze? That is judgment. The meaning is judgment. Everything that is outside must go through judgment. It will not enter in without judgment. So if you stand outside, you see many bronze pillars. So you cannot enter in so easily. We want to pull every person in with force. But God does not pull anyone into the church by force. Rather, Hebrews shows us he will shake everything. That's why once in a while there is a shaking. Because sometimes something will enter in that should not enter in. Something that is of man's hands, that is of this creation, something that's of the world, something that's of flesh. Then the Lord has to shake it. The church without judgment cannot stand. If you let everything in because there is no judgment, then in the end the serpent will also enter in. Well, the serpent would love to sneak in, surely. But praise the Lord. All around we have bronze pillars. If we do not have this bronze pillar, there is no way. It's not possible. And if we see the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, what's the first thing you see? You see a wall, a very high wall. It is a wall of separation because God is holy. And outside, there are all these filthy things. They don't belong inside. And this is the building we must see today. since we're here, we'll read some more. So let's start at the end. The end of the outline. Yeah, to be in charge of all the offerings and the holy gifts. That's the condition, the prerequisite. Because without the blood, without this burnt offering altar, and the blood of the various offerings, for most of all the sin offering, without these we cannot enter in. And Hebrews tells us this. Through the blood of Christ, we have the confidence to enter in. No one can enter in without the blood, not even the priests. And at that time, they could only enter into the most holy place once a year. It's important for us to see. So I hope we all understand that, because we have spoken about the offerings very much over the last year and a half. Is it enough? Still not enough? Oh, surely we need a few more years so that we can fully lay hold of all this. There are so many aspects. The offerings are described in many places in the books of Moses. And the priests must be so familiar with all the many offerings. How many offerings, how many animals do we need for the Passover feast or for the Feast of the Tabernacles? And what kind of offering is important for the Feast of Reconciliation? We think we already know everything. I don't think so. We need even more light from the Word. And then there's also the daily offering. So many things for these offerings. And the priests had to learn all these things. Okay, so for now we'll move beyond the altar and the offerings, and we'll move further into the sanctuary to the laver, which is for cleansing and purifying. And the water here is a living water. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us it's the pure water, it's a living water that cleanses our sin. All these sinful things, the blood is sufficient to cleanse. But then there are so many things that require the pure water of life, that is washing in a living way, an inner purification, an organic cleansing. We must see this. We have an outer cleansing, and we also have an inward cleansing. And Paul tells us about the washing of the water in the Word. It's a little bit different than the cleansing through the blood. If I have sinned, okay. And if I've done something wrong, okay. Then I will take the blood, and my conscience will be cleansed. But how will you cleanse your old habits? How will you cleanse yourself from stains or spots? You can try rubbing them with soap. You can try to... You can't get your natural spots away with just water. Well, it would be nice, but if you could just take soap and you could just rub away all your natural stains or spots. Oh, not stains. He's talking about regular skin and spots on your skin. You cannot rub it away with soap. And so the same way, in our spiritual spots, you need a certain cleansing through the Spirit. And this cleansing is important. The Lord must really train us. And once we enter in, the first thing we have to concern ourselves with is the light. So when we're in the sanctuary, that's what we have to concern ourselves with. What do you do? What's the first thing you do when you enter into a room? You turn on the light. If you go into the kitchen at night, you want a snack, and you're hungry, you go into your kitchen. What's the first thing you do? You switch on the light. Otherwise, you don't know where the food is. The light is important, brothers and sisters. John tells us, walk in the light. And the Lord also says, I am the light. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Light is very important. We talk about life, 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 but in the end we are all in darkness. No, the life is the light of man. We cannot have life without light. Otherwise you don't know what's happening. You can't even discern between black and white. Because it's dark. You know, without light, everything looks black. Even if it's white. You cannot discern at all. And here we see this golden lampstand in the sanctuary, full of life. And it looks like a tree of life. If you look at its shape, it looks like an almond tree, and it has almond blossoms. Unfortunately, I'm not an artist, so I can't quite show it. But if you really see it and have such a lampstand, you will see it is like a living golden tree, a golden almond tree, full of life, of resurrection. And for this lampstand, for this light, we need fresh oil. That's very important to see this. And as priests, we must ensure every day that the light is always burning. Because if the light goes off, then you have a problem. Then you really have a problem. Because there are no windows. You can't say, oh, I'll just open the window shade so I can see how I can fill up the oil. You cannot fill up the oil when it's dark. And because this was the only source of light in the sanctuary, you can never let it be extinguished. You can't say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just fill it up after the light goes out. No, then you have a problem. Because then you can't see anything anymore. There's no other light source. How would you do it? you just turn on your cell phone light? Will you just take your cell phone into the sanctuary and use the flashlight function? No. Therefore, it's very important to let the light burn in you. The Lord warns us, if it's dark in you, how dark is it in you? How great will the darkness be? So, if the light goes out, you will go downhill in your spiritual life. And in the end, you will indeed see nothing anymore. In the New Jerusalem, the light cannot be extinguished because God Himself is light. And the Lord is the lampstand. He's the lamp. And the entire New Jerusalem is a lampstand that is carrying this light. And we have to see this clearly today. Here in the church life, if the light goes out, then everything else is over. So in Sardis, that had the name that they were alive, but actually they were dead. And if a church is dead, then it's over. Then the light is out. And once the light is out, you can do whatever you want. Then it's over. Then you can say goodbye. Do you want to be that kind of priest? Do you want to be a priest, really? Your first job, please. Make sure that the light is burning. And then, this light must point forward, and it must light and give light to the whole house. That's why it has seven lights. It's not sufficient if only three of the seven are functioning. How many lights do you have in your car? And if one of them goes out, then the police will come if your headlight is out. It's dangerous to drive with a broken headlight. You wouldn't drive with just one working headlight. And if it's foggy, you even need high beams to see through the fog. That's the kind of light we need in the church. So much light. What do you think if of the seven lamps, only one of them was shining? How far would you see? You need seven lamps. The number seven. Don't forget this number. Seven lamps on the golden lampstand. And they lit up the entire sanctuary. And then there is this veil that is behind the veil that separates the most holy place from the sanctuary. There is no lamp. Why? Because God is the light. And God is in the ark. So this ark is the Lord Himself. He is the light in the most holy place. So there is no need of a lampstand there because the Lord Himself is the light. The ark does not represent Christ, but it is Christ as the ark. That's why the ark does not require anyone to help it. Remember, Uzzah. Not sure how you spell that, but...
But in English, it is Z, right? No? It's it. I mean, in Deutsch, it is. Yeah, it is.
Well, they're just debating how you spell Usa or Utsa in German. In any event, remember that... Through ignorance, he was transporting the ark through with a cart, an ox cart, and of course, it broke. The ark, the cart broke, and so Uzzah wanted to help. He had good intentions, and he touched the ark so it doesn't fall down. He died on the spot. And remember what happened to the Philistines. When they brought the ark to their camp, to their city, that was not good at all. That was not a good idea. In the end, they brought the ark back so quickly. And so we see that this ark does not require any man to protect it. How can you protect God? Does God need your protection? God does not need our protection. So often, even in the church life, I want to tell you, because it is the church of the Lord and the ark is in it, you don't have to try to protect the Lord. Even if you try, well, the more you try, the more problems there will be. The Lord can very well protect himself. And in particular, in the sanctuary, we have to carry out our priestly service to take care of the lamp and the oil. How much oil do you have in you? I don't think that this container is a large tank. I don't think that the container for the oil is huge, or it's 1 whole liter of oil, so that in case someone forgets to refill it, it will still continue burning. No. Surely, it's just enough for one day. What about the oil that is in you? How much is there? And how will you obtain this oil? And the problem with the foolish virgins was that they lacked oil. So where will you obtain the oil? And we see again and again in Acts that they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with Spirit, but not once, not filled once for 10 days. I don't think that's the case, but rather daily you must fuel yourself, fill yourself. Yeah, it's like putting gas in a car. I saw in the news somewhere there is some car.
No, 26-gallon.
That has a 26-gallon tank. That's about 100 liters. And how many liters does your car have? 60. Ah, that's why you can drive so far. But with 100 liters, wow, you could drive even farther without having to refuel. But in your spiritual life, you must refuel every day. You have to refuel every day. That's really the case. Look, if you had a good breakfast, how long does that last? A few hours. So you have to eat three times a day. Can you imagine? The Lord says, okay, I'm gonna make a new creation so that you can have an enormous stomach and you can just eat once a day. Or even once a week. It will last you the whole week. It's so economical. Oh, you can save a lot of time. You just eat once a week. You want that? No. It must be fresh. We have to have a fresh supply. Everything has to be organic, living. So this wonderful oil, which is the Holy Spirit, how often are you being filled with this oil? If you want to do this priestly service, some people are being filled only once a month. So no wonder they're not living so properly or so well. No, you can't do that. We cannot do that. Or rather, we must be filled daily. And to have this service in the church, this is also a service in the church. Not to say, oh, I'll just wait until next Sunday to be filled. Oh, there's just a gas station in the meeting hall, and you just come once a week, and you are filled? And I've heard some saints say, oh, I didn't receive anything in the meeting, in the Sunday meeting. My goodness, are you coming to be fueled, to be filled up, and you get nothing? Oh, Jesus. What shall we do? Daily you have to be filled. Say, Lord, fill me. No wonder Paul says in Ephesians, be full of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We must do this, otherwise it doesn't work. The light won't work, and in the end, we won't know what we should do, and so we'll just say, Lord, show me, Lord, show me. And the Lord wants to show you, but he can't show it to you because there's no light. How can the Lord show you? So, Lord Jesus, let us exercise to carry out this priestly service in the sanctuary. Yeah, we must watch out for these things. Do not forget, this must be our daily service to take care of this lamp. And then on the other side of the sanctuary, you have these showbreads, which are actually intended as food for the priests. But first, they have to be in the Lord's presence 6 days. And only on the Sabbath may the priests eat this bread. But not before. Not beforehand. And that's why they're called showbread, because first they are placed before God. First they are placed before God. And after that, you can enjoy it. It is food for you. And then we have to see that these 12 breads, or these 12 loaves of bread, some say there are two rows of six, others say there are two gold bowls, and each bowl there are six pieces of bread. Well, it's six of one and a half dozen of the other. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, it's two times six. That's the main thing. Two times six. Let us not argue about how it's represented. I think the traditional concept among the Jews is that it's two plates or two bowls, each of which has six pieces of bread in it. But in any event, God sees everything anyway, whether it's the one way or arranged the other way. He sees all of it. That's the point. It's show to God. It doesn't matter. And why? It shows that everything we eat today, you first have to show it and present it to the Lord. Don't eat just whatever man gives you to eat. God must first look at it, examine it. It must stand before the Lord. Then you can eat it. Don't just eat everything without asking the Lord. You just swallow it down, and in the end, you'll end up swallowing poison with leaven. You think it's free of leaven, and after you've eaten it, you realize, oh, there's yeast in it, and then you start to break out in hives. I know all about that. Because I often break out in hives. If I eat gluten, even though I really like to eat German bread rolls, but now I can't eat them. Anyway, we have to see and we have to learn. These showbreads, let God first examine what you're going to eat. And if he says yes, then it's okay to eat it. Otherwise, you will eat everything, and in the end, you will be poisoned. And the light will also go out. So I hope, at the very least, we would learn every week. Unlike the lamp, which has to be taken care of every day, the showbread, it's every week. Because it has to be there for 6 days before the Lord. Until the Lord says yes, then you can eat it without any concern. Otherwise, you don't know what you'll end up eating. We've seen this often. And it's always like this. Well, we will continue this tomorrow. We're out of time. I want to correct. So this is the important about the priestly service, because what if you eat something and you give it to someone else to eat, then in the end we all will die. You are just sharing this bread that has not been examined by the Lord. You're just sharing it with everyone. That's difficult. So may the Lord show us that we should not do this.
How many pillars?
And what did the Lord say to his disciples? He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." The Lord said, "Watch, be watchful." And that's what this means, the showbread. Be watchful. Protect yourself. Be careful. Do not swallow everything. Bring it to the Lord first. Yeah. To examine whether what the elders say is the truth. We all have to do this. Do not think that people cannot err. So we must all learn to carry out this service properly in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And just one correction, it's actually the